Most people pray. Most Canadians pray. A couple of years ago, the Canadian pollster Angus Reid was the guest speaker at the BC Leadership Prayer Breakfast in Vancouver. There he shared the latest polling results. He told the gathering that while weekly church attendance had dropped from about 56% in 1966 to 15% in the present day, 85% of Canadians still pray. Most people pray. Most Canadians pray. You likely raised a few words to heaven yourself this past week. As for how we pray, well, this takes different shapes and forms. Writer Anne Lamott speaks of her own prayers regularly falling into two categories: help me, help me, help me, and thank you, thank you, thank you. In another book, she also talks about wow. That's the third prayer, wow. Now, these descriptions are pretty broad strokes. I mean, help me prayers, prayers of petition, can be used for matters that are quite trivial, and then matters that are earth-shatteringly important. They can be very pointed and particular, and they can be very open-ended. In any case, these prayers of petition in particular involve us making a claim on God, asking, begging, even sometimes demanding that God would intervene in our situation. Through repeated requests, we strive to win God over to our agenda and help us obtain what we want. Prayers of petition involve a sort of wrestling with God. Now, I think that most of us recognize that these prayers, our prayers of petition, express our own particular agenda. What we don't always consider, what we don't always realize, is that God might have an agenda of God's own. That the God of the Bible is more than a cosmic vending machine. Put a coin in the slot and down drops the candy bar. No, this God is a holy other who often responds in unexpected ways. Today we enter the biblical story of Jacob. Jacob, the son of Isaac. Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. Now, Jacob, you may remember, was a twin. When he was born, he came out holding on to his brother's ankle, hence the name Jacob, which means heel or trickster or supplanter. Not a flattering name, as names go. And Jacob managed to live up to that. I mean, as a young man, Jacob had tricked his brother Esau out of his birthright. Esau had been out hunting, was hungry. Jacob was at home doing a little cooking. Hey, Esau, you want to sell me your birthright? Oh, yeah. Well, he didn't just trick his brother Esau out of that birthright, but also out of their father's blessing, which rightfully belonged to the eldest son. In that second instance, he dressed up, he masqueraded in his brother's clothes and covered himself with goat skin to mimic hairy Esau and deceive his blind and aged father. The Bible tells us that Esau hated Jacob, that Esau resolves within himself, I will kill that little brother of mine. Well, because of the threat to his life from Esau, Jacob leaves his home and family in Cana and makes a new life with the family of his uncle Laban in Haran in Mesopotamia, the native birthplace of Abraham and Sarah, his great-grandfather and great-grandmother. Now, while Jacob is in Haran, God is with Jacob and richly blesses him in many different ways. And after many years, a much older Jacob finally resolves to return home to Cana. But this means confronting his past and the brother he had deceived. As Jacob crosses the Jordan River in Cana, he prays to God for protection. Jacob prays to God for protection. I mean, we all pray, right? Help me, help me, help me, and thank you, thank you, thank you. When Jacob is facing up to meet his aggrieved brother, Jacob prays the longest prayer that is recorded in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. Save me, I pray, Jacob calls out. Save me, I pray, from the hands of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me and also the mothers with their children. Now, in that same prayer, Jacob acknowledges God's kindness. In the same prayer, Jacob acknowledges his own unworthiness. And yet, Jacob is also assertive, even demanding. He calls on God to keep that promise God first made to his granddaddy and then later to him. But you have said, Jacob prayed, you have said, I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. When Jacob is preparing to confront an angry brother, Jacob calls to God for help. And that night, God answers him. That night, God appears to him, and they wrestle with each other the whole night long. This match was brilliantly described for us in that monologue, thank you, Gord, a monologue that can be found in Fred Buechner's book, Son of Laughter. Jacob calls on God to claim God's promises and bend God's will to his own. God turns up to answer him. God bends him and God breaks him, revealing that this God has a will and an agenda of his own. But even with a dislocated hip, Jacob won't let God go. Jacob asks for a blessing. Jacob is still making demands on God. But this time after that late night of wrestling, there is a small change, and I think a significant difference. Before, when he called on God, Jacob had a specific plan, specific agenda. Now, after a night of wrestling, Jacob is simply ready to receive whatever God will give. And what does God give him? Well, God blesses him and gives him a new name, a new identity. Instead of being known as Jacob the trickster, he will be known as Israel, which the King James Version renders as a prince who has power with God. Jacob came to God to change his circumstance, and God, it seems, came to Jacob to change his identity, his character. Can I say that again? Jacob came to God to change his circumstance, and God came to Jacob to change his character. So what have you been trying to grasp from God's hands? Could it be that God is holding out an even greater blessing for you? Thanks be to God. Amen.